This is my first time. Good morning. I'm Megan Tulikangas, and I'll be sharing with you how the Louisiana Campaign for Tobacco-Free Living measured tobacco, alcohol, and food in the New Orleans retail environment. And immediately following my talk, my colleague Alex will share some results of the research that I'm going to be talking about, how we collected our research facts. Good morning. I have no relationships to disclose. So to begin, a little bit about who we are. The Louisiana Public Health Institute is a private nonprofit here in New Orleans, and it administers a number of public health programs throughout the city, state, and the region. One of these programs is the Louisiana Campaign for Tobacco-Free Living, which is funded by the state excise tax on tobacco. So, how did a tobacco control program come to be speaking to you about food environment? There's a little bit of a windy journey, but I'll get you there, I promise. TFL's program goals are obviously tobacco-focused, but also clearly state an emphasis on improving the health of young adults and youth, as well as a social justice component of reducing disparities. Unfortunately, my pretty graphics didn't map out quite as well as I wanted, but hopefully you can still read it. The youth and disparities goals are very closely linked. As R.J. Reynolds noted, get your customers young, and they'll be customers for a very long time. And they're looking for specific customers. When asked if he smoked, an R.J. Reynolds executive said, no, we reserve that right for the poor, the young, the black, and the stupid. Young, poor, black, and the stupid. Much of TFL's work has historically focused on secondhand smoke, but when the program wanted to find a new angle to engage young people, we sought to find an environment where kids would encounter every day. Kids can't go into bars where secondhand smoke is an issue, but they could go to the gas station on the corner or go grocery shopping with their parents. And that brought us to the retail environment. Specifically, places that any kid in New Orleans could see and experience every day on the way to school, for example. So what are these kids seeing, was our question. We learned a bit about the retail environment. Young people visit convenience stores a lot. If you think back to the last time you stopped at the gas station and tried to picture all of the ads on the windows and the doors in the parking lot, a child or a teen who goes to the store on the corner once a week would see these every time that they visit, whether they're aware of it or not. And teens who make more trips to the store are more likely to make unhealthy impulse purchases. This is a photo that I took here in New Orleans. Oh, my graphics were so pretty. As you can see, when looking at the impact of the retail environment on a community's health, it's not enough just to look at tobacco. We have ads for tobacco, alcohol, and some sugary drinks. This is just one sign and one store. If you think about every store, it adds up quite a bit. A key to looking at the retail environment or marketing at the point of sale is something called the 4 P's. And the 4 P's are a way to describe how products are marketed and represent 4 distinct but interrelated concepts. First, the product itself is designed to appeal to a certain group of people and is something that they would want to consume. To use a tobacco example, think how much more appealing a cigarette would be to someone who's just looking to start trying it if it were cherry flavored. That's not legal now. That is now illegal, but there are other products that have popped up to take their place. Next, the product is promoted in ads and signs to get the attention of the desired customers and shows how people like you would use the product. They'd be having so much fun using it. Products and the advertisements are placed in eye-catching and noticeable places, such as at eye level or near the cash register or the counter. As the saying goes, eye level is buy level, and that applies to kids too, just that their eye level is a little bit lower than adults. And finally, the products are priced to be affordable and desirable to the target audience. So to put my puzzle piece, imagery to use, this is a sign at a gas station that has components of all 4 P's. These advertisements are promoting a few products. We have the Coca-Cola family of beverages on the bottom and Swisher Sweets little cigars up top. There are prices listed for these products. And if you look closer, you can see that there's a price promotion for the sodas. It's 99 cents when you buy two or more, which implies a deal, so it's called a price promotion. The sign's placement is outside of the store. It's also on the ground, which would more or less equate to eye level for a child if you're only 3 feet tall. This is kind of where your eyes would be. So, though the four P's are distinct, they're very closely interrelated, and they can create a complex picture quite quickly. The four P's apply both inside and outside the store, wherever people are preparing to make a purchase and are open to suggestion. What else do I need while I'm here? There's been considerable research on point-of-sale marketing for tobacco, alcohol, and food. Tobacco advertising has been linked to youth smoking behaviors, and food marketing has been linked to youth obesity. And further, all marketing is not equal. As I've alluded to, internal tobacco company documents have established that tobacco companies specifically target youth and minorities. Alcohol advertising has been shown to increase the likelihood of adolescent drinking. And food promotions to children primarily promote high fat, sugar, and salty foods and affect children's food knowledge, preferences, purchasing and consumption behaviors, and diet-related health. So with all of that background, I think you'll see how we arrived at some of our research questions. Do minority or low SES neighborhoods in New Orleans have more access to unhealthy products, more advertising for unhealthy products, less access to healthy products, and more advertising and product placement designed to appeal to youth? To answer these questions, we wanted to take a multi-phase approach. First, we wanted to measure the environment itself. Then we can consider the individuals in that environment, and finally move towards looking at the individual's interactions with their environment. With these insights, our goal is to create policy recommendations and inform TFL's awareness campaigns around tobacco and other products. For our mixed methods research, we identified three units of analysis, each of which interacts with the others. To capture the retail environments themselves, which would be the stores, we surveyed the four P's in every store in New Orleans and interviewed store owners about why they stock the products that they stock. Neighborhood case studies and a billboard census captured the broader environment in which the stores are located and in which residents live. We also surveyed New Orleans residents about their perceptions of the advertising where they live. And finally, we will be using GIS tracking technology. We will also capture residents' reactions to photographs of the stores and then use GIS tracking technology to capture individuals' movements throughout the city. When paired with our store survey data, we will have a novel way to measure actual exposure to products and advertising. For today, I'm going to describe the development and implementation of the store survey portion of our research, and Alex will describe the store owner interviews and case studies, as well as present the findings from our store census and some of our other data that's more qualitative. We surveyed tobacco, alcohol, and food in every retail store in Orleans Parish that sold at least one of these products. Orleans Parish is coterminous with the city of New Orleans, so that's what we're talking about. We captured the four P's for these products, as well as some store characteristics, such as the size and type of the store, and some immediate neighborhood characteristics, such as graffiti and litter. Developing the store survey tool itself began with three existing researches we were familiar with in our tobacco work. The store alert report card and the Operations Storefront Survey have both been around for over a decade and are wonderful tools for a basic look at tobacco products and their marketing. We also had a relationship with a group called Counter Tobacco and their point-of-sale survey arm, Counter Tools, who provided us with some valuable guidance. When designing our tobacco module, we knew that we needed to include new and emerging products, such as flavored little cigars and cigarillos, and e-cigarettes, which have really become very popular of late. However, we also felt we could leave out some other products, such as chew and snuff, which are just not much of an issue in New Orleans. I'm supposed to say not prevalent. For alcohol, we just couldn't find anything that was comparable to the tobacco surveys. However, we felt that we could construct an alcohol module using the same placement and promotion definitions that were in the tobacco survey, and by selecting commonly found products that were targeted towards the groups we're interested in, so youth and minorities. When it came to food, we had the guidance of another partner, the Tulane PRC, Prevention Research Center, which has done extensive food environment research in New Orleans, including corner store studies, shelf space measurement, and food access research. For our food module, our goal was to utilize the Tulane PRC's experience without duplicating their efforts, and to allow for comparability across all three product types. We again maintained the same placement and promotion definitions as the other two products and selected commonly found products relevant to our research. Food is unique in one very big way, however. This is the only product type where we had an opportunity to look at healthy products. We felt this was an important counterpoint to the wealth of unhealthy product information we had for all three product types. Our tobacco survey captured the full spectrum of the four P's questions for cigarettes, menthol cigarettes, little cigars, and cigarillos, and also limited availability and promotion information for e-cigarettes, smokeless tobacco, and wrapping papers. Basically, is it available? E-cigarettes have become so much more prevalent in the last year or so, we upgraded them to the full four-piece question complement for our last round of data collection just this past summer. This is our second round of data collection. We chose to exclude full-size cigars from our analysis, as well as cigar shops, because we wanted to keep the focus on products targeting youth and that are available to youth in their everyday encounters with retail stores. Our alcohol survey captured the four P's of beer, malt liquor, which would be Old English or Colt 45, hard liquor, and alcopops, which I'll talk more about in a second. We did not include wine or wine shops in our analysis because, you know, for the same reasons we didn't include cigars. We wanted to keep the youth focused. Our food module captured the four P's of several unhealthy products, candy, salty snacks, chips, soda, and energy drinks. We also captured the four P's of the healthy fresh fruits and vegetables, milk, and bottled water. And then we noted the availability and advertising for hot prepared foods, ready to go, and hot climate favorites like slushies and icies. As you can see, we focused on very common products that we would be likely to see in every store. And as for our research questions, menthol cigarettes and malt liquor are targeted towards and used as particularly prevalent among African Americans. Kids love candy, chips and soda, and slushies. Little cigars and cigarillos, papers and wraps, and e-cigarettes have become incredibly popular among youth because they're available in hundreds of flavors and are not limited to the same packaging size restrictions that cigarettes are. Alcopops are sweetened malt beverages commonly marketed towards youth and young women. Some brands you may know are Mike's Hard Lemonade and the Bud Light Limeritas and other Ritas. Energy drinks have become incredibly popular in the last few years, and they're getting very creative with all the flavors we learned. There's a lot of overlap with coffee now. And they're especially popular among young men. Our data collection went a little something like this. I simplified it the best I could. We hired 14 data collectors, or 7 teams of 2. 6 of those teams collected data on a specific product, 2 teams per product. Each team of which would collect, visited half the stores in the city. Within each team, each data collector had a specific role and collected half of the data points for each store. We had them divided into roles, either the purchaser or the non-purchaser, cleverly named. And they so the purchaser collected price and product availability data, and the non-purchaser focused on promotion collected data, person-related data. The seventh team also consisted of a purchaser and non-purchaser, but they visited 10% of each product specifics team's stores for reliability, meaning they collected data on all the product types and served as quality control both within and across product types. All data collection was performed on mobile phones using an electronic survey application called DoForms, selected because it is operable on multiple platforms and doesn't require internet access at all times, which is a problem in many New Orleans neighborhoods. At the time of our data collections, New Orleans was one of the least wired cities in the country. Data can be stored until within Wi-Fi range and then automatically uploaded, and the web-based platform allows data to be extracted from any computer. So this was a very logical choice for us. So here's a few screenshots of the modules themselves. These are for the tobacco non-purchaser, but they, except for the specific product, are identical across all 3 product types. Quick overview of the product before I turn it over to Alex. We visited 465 stores. Every store was visited for every product type, whether or not they sold that product. And each module that each data collector used contained about 100 questions. So with 2 people, a purchaser and a non-purchaser, completing a different module for each store, that adds up to around 600 data points for each store, varying slightly by product type because we asked multiple questions. Here's a map of New Orleans with the neighborhoods outlined, and each of those dots represents one of the stores we visited. And to tell you much, much more is Alex.